So today I want to talk to you about another face-to-face encounter. This is face-to-faces. This is Jesus Christ as he enters Jerusalem and as he comes into Jerusalem on the Passion Week. And we call this the triumphal entry. And I want to talk to you today about and get a proper perspective about what's going on here and how this story applies to us today and what is the message of today. And so it's found in John at chapter 11. It's the first 11 verses. Now, it's not John 11, but when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." Okay, so we're in the book of Mark, and this is the Mark chapter 11, the first 11 verses. And so I want you to just understand that what's going on here is that Jesus Christ has been doing his ministry on work on earth. He has been doing the work that God has sent him to do. He has healed people. He has preached. He has given sermons. He has given lessons. He has changed people's lives. And now we see that he turns and he faces towards Jerusalem and he heads to Jerusalem for the ultimate purpose as to why he was sent on earth. And that is to die. And I need you to understand that he lays out very specific instructions on what is to happen and with this colt and where they're supposed to go. And there's a reason for that. Okay, there's a reason why he is so specific here in his instructions. And that is because that Jesus Christ, this was not just happening. It was not just being slowly revealed, and it was not just going and these circumstances were falling into place. I need you to truly understand that Jesus was sent, and he knew that he was sent from the beginning of time, before earth was ever created, and the heavens and the earth were ever created. The mission was formed that Jesus Christ would die for sinners. And that is the purpose that he is sent here on earth. And I need you to understand that he knows that he is sent here to die. That is his purpose. And when he turns and he faces Jerusalem, he knows that he is walking towards his death. And it has been prophesied in old times, and it has been laid out. So he gives very specific instructions because it is according to the prophecy that is revealed in the Old Testament. And he is the answer to all of those prophecies. Now that is important. And I need you to understand that when you read the Bible in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that everything points to Jesus Christ. The point of every word and every scripture is Jesus Christ. That is the point. And when he comes to this day, I need you to understand that he is claiming the mission that he is on. He is turning towards Jerusalem, walking towards his death. And he has been laid out very specifically what is supposed to happen because he is sent. He is the Son of God. He has always been the Son of God. He is the perfect sacrifice. He has always been the perfect sacrifice. This isn't just something that God chose and said, "That guy Jesus looks like a good dude. I think I'll make him the Son of God or the sacrifice at Calvary." He has always been the Son of God. He is sent to be our sacrifice for sin. So I need you to understand that it is so specific here is because God prophesied that this is what will happen, and Jesus is now being the fulfillment of that prophecy. And in fact, we find one of those in Zechariah 9, and it tells us, "Greatly rejoice, O Zion." Okay, that's Jerusalem. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He will enter your city. He is just. He is bringing salvation. He is humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So that is the prophecy that is revealed in Zechariah 9, and Jesus Christ is now the fulfillment of that prophecy. And if you think that there just happened to be a donkey where Jesus said that there was, then you're missing the point of what I've talked about for the last 5 minutes. Because it is, he is the Son of God. There will be a donkey where he says there will be, because he is fulfilling the prophecy. This is every breath that he has taken on this earth is leading up to his crucifixion at the cross and then his resurrection from the tomb. That is what he was sent to do. Did he heal people? Absolutely. Did he give us great advice to build our lives and our marriages on, our families on? Absolutely. But come to understand that he was sent with a mission, and it was a preordained mission that he was sent to die for everyone on earth to be the sacrifice for their sin. That is important. All right? But there is a waiting multitude. There is a city waiting for the Messiah. They are waiting for the Messiah. I need you to understand that too, is that there is a multitude, a city there that is waiting for the Messiah to show up. But they had preconceived ideas about what the Messiah would look like, how he would act. And Jesus did not fit their idea of what the Messiah was. His mission was grossly misunderstood. And Jesus redefined what triumphant was to them. Christ comes to the gates of the city. He's riding on a donkey. Well, what does this mean? Why is there such a big deal about the donkey? Well, back in biblical times when there were kings, kings would ride into town either on a horse or on a donkey. And if he rode in on a donkey, he was coming in peace. A warring king rode a horse. So I need you to understand the multitude that is waiting on Christ. They are Jewish people. It is the Passover week. People are just coming into the city by the hundreds. Jerusalem is going to be full. They are just pouring into the city to celebrate the Passover week, to celebrate what God had done to them, for them when Moses had them in Egypt. And you know the story, when the death angel passed over, if the blood was on the threshold. And they came each and every year at this time to celebrate that. So you had Jewish people pouring into Jerusalem. And I need you to understand what was happening to these Jewish people. They were severely oppressed. They were ruled by the Roman people. So they were, I know in America we like to talk about oppression, but these people were severely oppressed. They were under the dictatorship of the Romans. They only had as much freedom as the Romans let them have in every aspect of their life. And when you think about the Messiah coming in, they were thinking about a guy coming in on a horse with a sword swinging, running out the scoundrels, the Romans, out of town and out of the temple, and reclaiming what David had instituted back in the old days. That's what they envisioned. That's what they were waiting for, was a king on a horse coming with war. But instead, we see a king coming in, and he is riding on a donkey. And it talks about back in those days when all the kings would come forward, that they would be riding, it came in on a donkey, they were riding in peace. But Jesus Christ, there will be a time when he rides on a horse. We just have to wait for his timing. And that is when he comes back. When he rides into this city, he's riding on the donkey because he's coming in peace. The people wanted them to come in war. But when he comes the second time, he will come in war to bring judgment. All right? So he's coming with peace. They don't understand that. They want someone who comes to war and to bring war against the Romans. But Jesus Christ is coming in peace. And then also, what does the donkey signify? It signifies a servant. The donkey is an animal that serves. Exodus 23 says, tells them about the laws on how to work. You shall work 6 days, and then on the seventh day you shall rest, and you shall let your ox and your donkey have rest because you've worked them The understanding is you've worked them for six straight days. It's time to give them a rest so you don't work them to death. So he is riding in on a servant. Now, what does that signify? It means that Jesus Christ is coming to serve. He is not coming to conquer the world in war, but he is coming to conquer the world in peace and to change men's hearts. And how do you do that? You do that through serving to the point even where you serve at death on the cross in crucifixion. And that is what he is coming to do. And so Mark 10, these are the very words of Jesus Christ. He tells them that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life, ultimately to pay the price of sin at the cross for each and every one of us. So when Jesus Christ is riding in on a donkey, people need to understand that he is coming in peace. He is coming to conquer the world with peace, a revolution of peace, not a revolution of war. War brings more war. Peace brings peace. And he is also coming to serve. So he's riding a donkey to signify that here is an animal that is a servant, bringing in the ultimate servant ever to walk the face of the earth, to do the greatest service and act of sacrifice ever recorded in history. And Christ is also coming in to die. Well, how do you get this out of him riding a donkey? Well, here's the thing to understand, is that in Numbers, when they're setting up the sacrificial system, it talks about that this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and when they bring your heifer, make sure that it has no defect, no blemish, and make sure that it has never been worked. A yoke has never been put on its back. It is an animal of purity. It is a pure, undefiled animal, never ridden, never worked. And when Jesus Christ gives them the example to say, when he tells them the specific instructions, you make sure that this donkey has never been ridden, that is to signify the purity of a sacrifice. And here we have an animal that has never been ridden, signifying purity, and he is delivering the perfect, undefiled, without blemish sacrifice that is being brought to the altar. Do you understand that? So now we have that he is coming to die. That is his purpose, is that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to die. And when he gives instructions to go get this donkey, bring it to him, he is fulfilling the prophecies perfectly. And then when he gets on this mule and rides it into this town, this is why this is so amazing. He is accepting what God has sent him to do. And that is good news for you and me. First Timothy says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came to this world. Did he save people? Absolutely. Did he cure them? Did he bless them? Absolutely. Did he give them messages of hope? Absolutely. Did he change people's lives? Absolutely. But write this down, is that he came into the world to save sinners. That is his purpose. That is the mission, that he came to save sinners. And here's the other thing I need you to understand, is a lot of times it talks about ox and donkeys in the Bible. Okay, an ox was considered a clean animal, a donkey not so much. All right? And when you start reading into some of this stuff, now this is critical here. Now think about this. He's riding into a Jewish multitude that's claiming him to be the king. And he rides in on a donkey. What else does that signify? Is that the ox signified the Jewish people, the pure people. Guess who the donkey signified? The Gentiles. Who's he riding in on? Not on a horse, not on an ox. Who's he riding in on? A donkey. What's so significant about that is because he came to die for all. Not just the rich, not just the chosen, not just the Jewish people. He came to die for everyone. Regardless of what you're going through, what you've put yourself through, what you've stained yourself with, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash it all clean. He died for you. He presented his blood to wash your sins away. And at this point in history, because see, there will be another time when Jesus is presented with the mission. There'll be another time here coming up this week in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's there and he prays as it's getting closer and closer. But this week, if you read the Bible this week and what happened in the Passion Week, you see Jesus Christ who is continually presenting himself and pushing himself towards the cross. It's just like when Peter got in his way and said, hey, we're starting to grow in numbers. We're starting to get more disciples, but you keep talking about death and how you're going to die and you're starting to scare some people away. You need to stop that. And how does Jesus react to Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan, because you are now standing between Jesus and the cross. There will be nothing that can stand between Jesus and the cross because that is his mission, to go to the cross for you and me. And when we talk about the triumphal entry, it's a whole new kind of it signifies a whole new kind of triumph, and it is the triumph over death. It is not the triumph over the Romans. It is not an earthly kingdom that he is establishing. Think about it. Could Jesus have ridden in on a donkey and conquered the Romans? Absolutely. Read the Old Testament. There's times when the Israelites are going up against armies and they're outnumbered, and Jesus says, or God tells them, don't even worry about it. You don't have to fight tomorrow. I'm going to confuse them, and they kill each other before they ever get to the battlefield. And the Israelites are like, that was easy. Jesus could have ridden in, and angels just sweep in and just wipe out the Roman army. And he could have set up a human, earthly kingdom to reign forever. In fact, that's what they were expecting. That's who they were ushering in. A king to take over the temple, to reestablish what David had gotten from God. That's what they wanted. But that's not what they got. And because they were unable to see Jesus Christ for who he truly was, they missed Jesus Christ. They missed him. Now, what does this mean to us today? Well, what we need to understand is that Jesus came, but he comes and came on his terms. He will never come on your terms. He doesn't come on Aaron Phelps's terms. And if you think about what we have talked about the last several months, about face-to-face encounters, about people being saved and people looking to a water to see if it was being stirred by some angel and he could dump himself in it to be cured, when the Son of God, who all things were created through, is standing right next to him. He missed Jesus there for a moment. And then we see a blind man. The Pharisees couldn't see as well as the blind man could. They couldn't see Jesus Christ. The blind man could see him for all that he was worth. And when we talk about prayer, the sermon series before this, we talked about prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is not about me. It's not about you. Your life is not about you. Your struggle right now is not about you. It's about glorifying Jesus Christ. And when we talk about prayer, yeah, we lift up what we need. We lift up our burdens. We ask. The Bible tells us if you don't ask, you don't get. But it also says that you don't get because sometimes you ask in the wrong manner. So we need to understand that prayer is about Jesus. Actually, prayer is Jesus. Just like salvation is about Jesus, because salvation is Jesus. And when we talk about the triumphant over death, it is amazing because Jesus Christ is the cure to death. And when we think about it all being about Jesus Christ, they were expecting a king to come in and conquer the world. They got a king that conquered the world. It just wasn't in the same manner that they wanted him to do it in. It didn't fit their tastes. Now, ask yourself this. Is Jesus Christ working in your life right now, but you're missing him because it doesn't fit what you think he should be doing and the way that he's doing, and it doesn't taste the way that you want it to taste? Ask yourself those things. Because we had people, and here's the thing. They were actually worshiping Jesus. Do you understand that? These people were actually worshiping Jesus. So you could look at them from the outside and say, well, they're doing good. They're worshiping Jesus. Isn't that what we want? Yeah, that's what we want. But you have to do it in the proper way for the proper reasons. And you have to worship Jesus Christ for who he truly is, not for who you want him to be. He is not going to come to you and say, how can I make this world fit you? He's going to come to you and say, I need you to change everything about yourself as I live through you and become strength through all your weaknesses. And in that kind of manner, we can change the world. We can change our community. But when we stand in the multitude and we worship Jesus Christ as he comes to us for who we want him to be, we actually miss Jesus Christ, just like these guys miss Jesus Christ. And they brought him in as a king on Sunday, and Friday night they're going to be screaming at him. Saturday they're going to be saying, crucify him, because he does it. It's not that he's not less Jesus, right? He hasn't changed. He's still the same guy that they're worshiping on Palm Sunday. Jesus, what's it say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Okay. Everybody with me still? You guys are kind of staring at me now. All right? Okay. Just checking in on you. All right? But what we have here is the same guy. They're worshiping the same guy. Why are they worshiping him on Sunday and yelling, crucify him on Saturday? It's because they missed Jesus Christ. And if you're not careful in your life, Jesus Christ can come in and he can signify all the things. He can be telling you everything that he needs to tell you. But because of who we are and our expectations and our image of what we want in our life and how we want things to go in our life and who Jesus Christ should be for us, we actually miss Jesus Christ. And here's the proof. The disciples, in order for Jesus, I understand this, in order for all this to go down, the disciples have to obey Jesus Christ. You get that point? Could Jesus have just had the coat just sitting there waiting on him? Could he have? Absolutely, right? He could have just been walking around and walking down the street, and he said, hey, oh, by the way, when we get up over this hill, there's going to be a donkey there waiting on me, and I'm going to ride that thing into town. And they get up over the hill, and there's a donkey. Couldn't that have been, that's the way it could have gone down, right? But instead, he sent disciples to go. Jesus is going to send us out to do a job so that his mission gets fulfilled. Now, you can accept that mission, and you can do it to his instructions by the T, or halfway down, you can start improvising the way that you want it to go down. But in this story, Jesus Christ gives them very explicit, specific instructions for how things are supposed to go down. And it goes down exactly the way that he asked, because it was prophesied all those years before. But he brought in the disciples, and they had to obey. Are you getting that point? In order for Jesus' mission to go down, he's going to include us. And he's going to ask us to do things. And we have to do it the way that he asks us to do it. All right? He established a kingdom. It just wasn't the kingdom they wanted. He was a king. It just wasn't the king they wanted. He entered the city triumphantly. It just wasn't the victory, the kind of victory that they wanted him to have. They got to meet Jesus Christ face to face, but they didn't see him for Jesus the Christ. They saw someone who didn't live up to their expectations, and they rejected him. And because of all that, because they couldn't accept a king coming in peace, presenting himself as a servant, as a sacrifice, who will die for everyone. Even the people, now, that's got to be planted in our hearts, all right? Jesus Christ died for everyone. I just need you to understand that. If you have a classification of people that just rub you wrong and you just can't understand them, I get it, okay? I get that. Because there are a lot of weird people in this world, right? Okay. You're looking at a weird one right here, man, okay? I get it. And sometimes when we look at, you know, and you do one of these, like, what are they thinking? Jesus Christ died for them. And if you got someone in your heart, in your life, that just raises up anger in you, guess what? Jesus Christ died for them. He died for Muslims. He died for ISIS. He died for terrorists. He died for murderers. He died for saints. He died for popes. He died for preachers. And he died for just average, ordinary people that we never hear about. Jesus Christ died for all. And I need you to understand that it was a mission he knew, he understood very, very specifically. He accepted it. He needs us to help him. He's calling us. He doesn't need us to help him, but he's calling us to help him get the job done. We have to accept it, and don't miss Jesus Christ when he walks right past you as you're worshiping him. I need you to understand that. They missed Jesus Christ as they were worshiping him when he went by. And it was because he didn't live up to what they wanted. They couldn't conform themselves to Christ. There's the rub. So I'm asking you this morning, can you accept Jesus Christ for who he is? And can you accept what he's calling you to do completely? So I'm asking you to stand here this morning. This is a special week. If maybe you've been drifting on the outskirts of your relationship with Jesus Christ, this is a great week to come, cling to him, get to know him for who he truly is, and get on the path to understand what he's calling you to do. This is a week where we worship Jesus Christ for what he so willingly and humbly did for each and every one of us. And this is a week where if you've never identified Jesus Christ for who he truly is, this is a week to say, hey, as you're walking by here, I'm going to lay palms down, put my coat down so you can walk on it and the animal can walk on it. And I'm going to look at you and see you for who you truly are for maybe the first time. So I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning. We come for a lot of different reasons. If you've got a trial going on in your life right now, come down. We are a family here. We pray together. We celebrate together. We cry together. We worship together. And we lift up each other. So come down and let's pray about it. If you've got somebody on your heart, come down and let's pray about that. If you just need encouragement to continue walking and living the way that you're called to do, come down, let's pray about that. And if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior and sacrifice, come down and accept him and make the best decision you ever make in your life.